Good day to you. Welcome to another edition of The Front Page on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Chuck Moraz. Today we're joined by Morehead Mayor Jim Tom Trent as we discuss city business as it relates to you who live in Morehead. And first of all, as always, Mayor Trent, good to have you on the program.
Great to be here, Chuck, as always.
One of the big things that came out of this week's city council meeting, of course, was the first reading of the budget for fiscal 2017. You
yes.
Maybe discuss that some.
Well, that's the budget as it's been well publicized in the state papers. This is always budget time for both the state and local governments. We have to have a budget ready to go for the May meeting so that we can have the first reading in May, second reading in June, so it can take effect July 1. And the budget is never an easy thing to go through because you have five departments where we're the city. You have the recreation department, you have the fire department, you have the police department, you have the public works department, and of course you have the administration building where I work with all of our staff. And we start the process in February. We bring our wants and our needs, and then it's up to the budget committee this year, as always, consisting of three council members, the city attorney, our city clerk, and myself. And we just sit down and try to prioritize. And we go through three or four meetings, try to pare it down, and we go by what we know we're going to have carried over. And we also look at what the projection of income is going to be, and then we also look at what, based on the wants and needs of the department, what the costs are going to be, and you just try to balance it out. So this year our budget is roughly $8.1 million, and of that, once we take out the capital projects, we take out the service costs for what the different services are provided by our different departments, we end up with a surplus, I guess you might say, of $450,000 roughly. Now, that number, we would like for that number to be higher. It has been higher in the past. You would like to have around $1 million to do that. We anticipate that going up some because once we get the true carryover numbers probably closer to July, then we'll see what that is. That'll probably go up a little bit more. And there's some numbers that come in late. For example, we don't know exactly what the budget for insurance because we haven't got those premiums yet. And I know your wife, who's worked there for several years, she knew the angst that you feel because you try to have this passed, but you also have some unknown variables. And so we're waiting on those numbers. We anticipate probably the carryover to be a little bit higher, and that number for 450 some thousand would hopefully go above 500, maybe closer to 6. We just don't know yet.
I'll ask you this: why is it so low then?
Well, we have more projects going on. We have in the projects we're working on, the costs don't go down. I mean, materials have not gone down. For example, labor costs have gone up. It just seems like costs across the board have gone up, and there has been a very fiscally there's been a pattern to keep things as low as possible over the last 6 or 7 years, and that's good because there hasn't been a lot spent on some items. But now 6 or 7, 8 years, especially when you're talking about vehicles, you're talking about facilities, you're talking about major things like, for example, the fire station too. We're going to have to go in and replace the heating and air, the HVAC for that, and that's going to be like $20,000. Well, you take that, for example, with some new vehicles, with infrastructure that is not getting any newer, that has to be maintained and or replaced, and so costs just continue to go up. There's been a costs have been kept low for several years, but now when some of that infrastructure and whatnot have need to be addressed, unfortunately, it's time to pay the piper, as we say. So, we're doing the best we can. I know I ask all of our five departments when they came in this year to cut 10%. After the first meeting, I said, go back and cut 10% to try to get up, and they did. And I know we've cut some vehicles out. We've cut some other things out. But things are more expensive, and we have more and more things that need to be addressed.
And you mentioned a lower carryover. I'm assuming that has a lot to do with the fact that city employees will not be getting raises this year.
They will not be getting raises this year. It's our hope, and I will put an asterisk besides that, because it's our hope that if the carryover, and once we get our final numbers going into the new fiscal year, if that becomes higher, significantly higher, we will look at potentially mid-year raises if the numbers are better than what we project at this time. What you do in a budget, especially when you're looking at, you know, trying to be as fiscally responsible and good stewards of the taxpayers' money, you want to budget expenses high and profits low. And you hope that that averages out, because you don't want to do it the other way, then you'll be caught, you know, in a bad spot. So that's where we are. But no, there's no plans for the initially to have raises. Now, you know, other places, they raise taxes to give raises. They raise fees to give raises. I don't think that's being fiscally responsible. I don't think the citizens would like that. I mean, everyone wants a raise. We have some very hardworking people, our 70 employees, who do very hard, demanding physical labor that we can't give raises to. I wish we could. On the other hand, we have one of the best insurance plans and one of the best benefit packages around. I mean, we pay something like 94% of our employees' insurance. It's roughly $900 a month per employee insurance benefit. And these days, you know, insurance hasn't gone down, probably won't go down ever. And that's something we try to balance out. Now, that's not shown in money on a check, but it is shown when you go to the doctor. And if you added that up, it's a pretty strong and pretty significant. There's been talk of people wanting to reduce that, and we have the budget committee. We're steadfast in saying we're not going to reduce that. If we can't give raises, we're not going to cut benefits. So we're hoping that if we tighten our belt tighter this year, that next year, if we don't do mid-year budget or mid-year raises, we'll be able to do that next year.
You mentioned that maybe there could be some increased revenue. I know of a lot of construction projects here in town, which could perhaps create some tax revenue for the city. Could that help in some way?
It could help. We're hoping that the influx of occupational taxes, especially when you're looking at Morehead State University is in the middle of a $130 million expansion. When you look at the dorm right across the way from you here, and also right up the street from you, the new food service facility with the new parking garage, and the proposed beginning of the ADUC expansion, which is going to happen probably in June. So you're looking at 2 years of projects there that will help us, roughly $130 million being spent by the university invested here. Then you look at the jail. The jail's going to start soon. That's about $20 million. So you're looking at $150. Then if you look at the new facility that we broke ground the other day at the St. Clair, the new office complex, that's around $25 million. So you're looking at $175 million approximately that are going to be taking place over the next 2 years. When will we see that? We won't see that right up front. We won't see that at the end. We'll see it probably incrementally over that period as as you have contractors come in and do that. So we anticipate that. But you can't put those down as hard and fast numbers when you're trying to do a budget. You have to be as realistic as you can, and you base that on what you did last year, and you try to be conservative on the profit side, and you try to be a little bit above conservative, a little bit more liberal with the costs.
And then you reevaluate, as you said, probably about mid-year.
We try to reevaluate monthly, really. But as far as trying to do something for raises, that'll probably, we'll give time for that to build up and look at that mid-year.
Well, you mentioned the occupational tax. There was some controversy at the Monday night meeting regarding a plan to include rental income as part of the occupational tax, which had not been done here before in the city of Morehead. And I know there are some property owners upset about that change, if you would talk about it.
Well, you know, this came to light when the county brought this issue up in March, and they voted on it, and it's been passed. They had their two readings, and it was passed at the April meeting. I was there. And what it is, there's a lot of misinformation and a lot of confusion about this. It's basically a net profits tax. In other words, it's defined by the IRS. If it is a business activity, then it is taxable. It's not exempt. It's also under our constitution, our state constitution, which is Section 71. It doesn't lay it out that simply, as most constitutions don't, but it does address being uniform in tax. And our city attorney, who's been there 17 years and who has dealt with these issues for many years, was very diligent in her research. She cited several different case law. She talked to several other municipalities who have similar setups with theirs. And it was unanimous. The people that she sought talked to and the sources that she sought out and was able to cite that you cannot exempt. It is basically unconstitutional to exempt net profit tax. And why it's been done that way, we don't know if it was a political decision. We don't know why it was, but it has. It's something that should have been done a long time ago all along. Now, it's my understanding that some people have been paying it and just didn't realize it. There's been some concern. It was brought up last night. What about the big box stores? What about this? Well, they pay it. I mean, that's a you know, company policy. So we understand that nobody wants to have any more money taken out of what they earn. That's I mean, everybody understands that. But as a city, as an entity, as a municipality that is designed to be good stewards of the taxpayers' money, we have to do what's legal. We have to do what's right, and we have to make sure that we cross all of our T's and dot our I's. And this is just something, whether it's happened in the past or not, that's irrelevant. It should have happened, and it is happening now. And if there's evidence that is brought up later that says whatever, we will listen to that. Based on the research we've done and based on the people we've talked to and based on our attorney's opinion, which is what she's paid to do, she suggested we do this, and it was a unanimous vote, 6-0 last night.
Any idea on how much money this could create for the city in new revenue?
No, we don't really have an estimate on that. If we did, it would be probably too varied. There's too many variables in it, since it's just going to be something that some entities already pay, but most individuals don't. So we're going to have to just rely on making sure that is done the best way we can. And then we'll be able to have a number to gauge. Right now, we don't. And I would be – it'd be irresponsible me just to guess, or anybody to guess.
Once again, we're on the front page. We're talking with Moorhead Mayor Jim Tom Trent, and we'll do some more of that right after this.
Can't keep up with local news and sports during your busy day? Let Moorhead State Public Radio update you on your world during our midday newscast. Whether you're in the office, the car, or on a lunch break, tune in to 90.3 FM every weekday at 12:06 for an in-depth look at news, sports, and weather. Don't let your busy lifestyle keep you from knowing what's going on around you. Tune in each weekday at 12:06 p.m. for MSPR's Midday Report.
Welcome back to today's Front Page. I'm Chuck Meraz. Moorhead Mayor Jim Tom Trent is our guest today on the program. And I know you were talking about some infrastructure projects earlier here in the city of Moorhead, Mayor. One project that's going on right now is some repairs along North Wilson Avenue.
Yes, that was something that, of course, you talk about carryover, and you talk about trying to have reserves. You know, that's something that came up last fall that we didn't realize when we did the budget for last year, which is our current budget, that we would have to face that. And it's upwards of $300,000 to do that. And what it is, if you're familiar with North Wilson, as you come over the hill that of course, North Wilson, as it comes down the hill, it parallels with the back of Bays Avenue. And it's before you get to what's called the circle cut, where it goes up to the right. Before you get there, there's a little bit of a bend in the road. And on the left-hand side, there are the concrete, probably 5 foot high, 4 foot wide culverts that have been there a long time. And some of them have been repaired in the past, but this particular section has not been, and it was breaking away from the road. Unfortunately, that's probably one of the most narrow parts of that road if you travel it very often. So as it was breaking away, if something did not happen and we did not go in and repair it and fix it the right way for a long-term fix, not a patch, then if we had a huge rain like we had in 2010 and the spring of last year, then there was a serious concern that could break away and probably maybe up to half the road could slide into the culvert, and we just couldn't do that. It was a safety issue, so we had it engineered. We had plans drawn, and right now it's underway. It's going to take, I think they've been there about 2 weeks now. It's going to take probably upwards of 3 months to fix it. And once it's done, it will be very safe and will handle the volume of water, and also it'll just handle the natural deterioration of concrete. Concrete doesn't last forever, and especially when it's been there a long time, and that's a heavily traveled road. So it's going to reinforce the road, and it's something that's much needed.
How's it coming right now?
It's pretty good. We've had to go up a couple times and make sure that the signage is there. Again, it's a heavily traveled road. It's a narrow section of that road. There's a couple of dead turns. What I mean is blind turns when you go in up that area. So we're making sure the signage is there. We're making sure everyone is aware, and we just appreciate the patience. People from that area are going to have to be extremely patient, but we think the safety value greatly outweighs what it's going to take and maybe messing up people's timing of the day. We ask them just to start a little bit earlier when you're going either direction, and anticipate some waiting.
Saw something that kind of caught my eye in the agenda for the council meeting. It said there was a discussion in regards to some advertising in the park. If you could explain.
Well, I've been involved with recreation a long time here in Moorhead. I was worked for the Department of Recreation as a program specialist in charge of the Little League and a lot of those different things for 4 years before I moved on to other positions. And that's one of the areas I really try to make sure that we do the best we can with what we got. And if you go to other areas, most other Little Leagues in our area, especially in the Northeast region, they allow for advertising to help costs. You go to a lot of places and they'll have signs that, so-and-so wants to sponsor a team or so-and-so wants to sponsor the league, and they'll put up banners and things like that. We've not allowed that for many years. We did do some last year with our new scoreboards. We had scoreboards that hadn't been upgraded in 30 years, and we were able to do that. If you go over there, you'll see all the parks at City Park, all the different fields have new scoreboards. And what brought it to our attention was, in order to help offset the cost of the big, nice, we got one of the nicest scoreboards at our high school field, which is the Don Hardin Legion Field, and our Round County high school team uses it, as does Lakeside Christian. What they did, the boosters went out, and in order to help pay for that, they sold signs. And it's a great, it'll be there for a long time. And so that got us thinking, well, again, costs aren't going down. There's always things being cut. There's always things we always need money for. So we were going to see if we can't be allowed to do that and help some of our summer sport programs. The money would go into the general fund, but it could be also, when it's added to the general fund, that would mean that the recreation department could come and ask for maybe that additional to help offset sports. So that's what it was. We don't want it to be gaudy. We want it to be done in a nice way, and that's what that was about.
Anything new in regards to the effort to get the new public safety, i.e. police fire station, built?
We're looking at, like I've said for many months, and it seemed like a broken record, but it's true. Joe Parson and myself and Chief Anderson and Chief Sexton and others have looked at, literally turned over, I think, every rock in the city proper, trying to find a place where we can where we can either do a joint building or if we have to go to two separate locations. Right now, looking at the cost of land, we are kind of back looking at two separate locations. One of the things that, we may do, we've got two existing locations right now. We've talked about, if we move the firehouse, will we sell that property? If we move the police station, will we sell that property? Or would we build back on those two properties? The fire station can't go back where it's at. That's the bottom line. We're going to have to find a bigger place for that if we do the separate properties. If we do them together, obviously we're going to need a bigger space than that. We're looking at around 2 acres to do the fire station, probably minimum. We need 3.5 to 4 to do both. That's because of parking. So everything's on the table, and I always tell people, if someone's out there, got a good deal, got some good land, they want to help out and help the city, let us know. But we're not going to go out and buy a piece of land just for the purpose of buying a piece of land. We have to be as frugal as we can, because once you get in construction costs again, one of the biggest costs would be, and people don't realize this, is moving our dispatch and our 911. There's a lot of equipment that has to be moved and relocated if we move that. So we're just trying to do it as most efficiently and fiscally responsible as we can.
Well, and you talk about trying to find 2 acres. of land in the city of Morehead where you can have access to all the places you need to have access to. That's a pretty tough nut to crack.
It really is. You know, our main thing is if we can be centrally located, in a perfect world, we would be centrally located with easy access to either US 60 or the main street, with also access so that we could either pull out, and it had to be somewhere where it's not a congested area. I'm talking about the fire, predominantly because of the fact of the size of the engines they have to use, especially the ladder truck and other things. You know, that you just don't pull out on the street fast with those. You got to have enough time, enough room, enough clearance, and enough viewing advantage for people coming up on that, you know, for the drivers around that, the motorists. So the police station is not as bad because you're talking about smaller vehicles. They need to respond quicker anyway. So central location is key. Access to main roads are key, and it needs to be out of the floodplain, or it needs to be somewhere that the property can be slightly modified to where we don't want to cause any other flooding. We don't want to obviously flood where we are. So, you know, it's not as simple as people think. If you look over, if you take a picture of Morehead and you look over the city, and you have an overhead where it's Google Earth or pictometry or whatever, and you know, oh, there's green space. You know, it's not as simple as that. It's not a Monopoly game. In other words, there's so many factors that go into it, so many factors I've learned about since being mayor. You know, we all have ideas. Oh, yeah, there's a good plot. But we're working on trying our best to get to do what we can. And I'm confident that either in the fall or in the spring we will have us someplace narrowed down.
A lot of people have taken note of the new hitching posts that are located around downtown Morehead. Those are for bicycles, if you want to call them mini bike racks or whatever.
Yeah.
But this, I guess, is a continued effort when we talk about making Morehead a more pedestrian and bike-friendly and more, I guess, more of a college town type of atmosphere.
Well, it is, and Tony Pence explained it best. And what he said was, Tony's our downtown Morehead Incorporated executive director, and what he... What he said best is, you know, for a long time, Morehead was built from the railroad tracks up. It was the way the linear the roads ran up to Main Street, and they were a street. Well, as time came by and the invention of the automobile and more use of the automobile, it became a road, if you think about it. Now that we've got the bypass, we don't need a road anymore. That's the road. That's the road you want to go fast on. That's the road you can go on. Now we need to get back to what's called a street, which is more of human scale. And a road is more vehicle scale. So we're going to try to narrow some of the areas downtown. We're also going to do all of this to attract more foot traffic, pedestrian traffic, make it more of a hometown feel so that people can be drawn down to all the things we got downtown, all of our great businesses that we have already, all the different attractions we have with the Arts Center and the Veterans Wall and other things, but also make it attractive to someone who wants to come in and start a new business. They want people want to come where you can have foot traffic. They don't want to come so people are going to bypass you. I tell people if you want to go fast, go on the if you want to go faster than 20 miles an hour, go out there and go on the connector or the bypass. If you want to go and spend time downtown, that's what we're going to do. The bike hitching posts were there for that reason. Also to tie in, as we said before, with what the university plans on doing with closing down eventually University Boulevard from Breck down. They're trying to make it more pedestrian friendly as well. With the new design on ADUC, it's going to be opened up more on the bottom level for people to come from the Main Street area. And we're just trying to get back to where, you know, it is a more of a hometown, small town feel with bigger town amenities.
About 60 seconds left. We've talked before about the possibility of a downtown hotel. Any talks there? Anything going on?
We're constantly looking at different options there. I can tell you right now there's nothing officially on the table. You know, we've had many talks with different people. We're constantly having talks. And what's good about that is when you have a talk with a certain group, word gets out. Other groups then come back in and they're interested, and that's what we're having now. We're having other groups calling us. And so what we're trying to do is we're trying to see if we can attract that type of business downtown. Number one, should we do it with a TIF? And that's for another show. But also, should we do it with what are the incentives that the county, the city, maybe even the university, maybe even St. Clair and other partners, what do we feel comfortable in giving somebody? And we're working on that. We're working on what we call our incentive toolbox. What are we willing? What can we live with? what's a good use of taxpayers' money to attract either a hotel or a restaurant or other business, and that's still in process.
All right, Mr. Mayor, thanks. Time's up. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Again, that's Morehead Mayor Jim Tom Trent. I'm Chuck Meraz on Front Page. We'll see you next time.